And welcome to Rock Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo, joined by Mandy. Hey, Mandy.
Hi, Yo. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am doing fantastic.
Did you have a good weekend?
I did. You know, they seem to go by a little bit shorter or a little bit faster, but it was good.
Okay, good. Do anything exciting?
I made rhubarb pie for the first time in my life, and it turned out really good. It was actually
really?
Raspberry rhubarb pie.
You made raspberry rhubarb pie.
Yes, I did.
I am such an underachiever. That's good.
It was fun.
Well, tonight on Raw Talk, we're going to kind of lighten the mood a little bit from what we went over last week. And tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about how can we relate the gospel in a relevant way to our culture. And one of the guys who's doing that is a guy named Dylan Brose. We've talked to him before. He's done work on a lot of things. Last time we talked to him, we tackled the topic of Wicca and witchcraft. And he's also written a book on the popular show Lost. Now, Lost just got started with its new season, season 5, this past Wednesday. And it's a show that's been around for a while. It really has captured the imagination of a lot of people. It's been kind of a pop culture phenomenon of its own. And so Dylan co-wrote this book called What Can Be Found in Lost, where he goes through and you know, takes some of the things in Lost and helps point them back to biblical truths. And so, Dylan Brose, thank you so much for joining us again tonight, Dylan. It's a real treat to have you back on the show.
Great to be with you again.
Now, Dylan, I have to ask right off the bat, do you actually watch the show Lost? Because sometimes people, you know, they do these cash-in books. I know that you're not that type, but sometimes people are like, oh, that's popular, I'll write a book about it. Do you watch the show Lost?
Yes, I've seen every episode at least once. I started off a little bit late. Season 1 took off, and I had a lot of friends saying, hey, you should look at some of the stuff that's going on in this series. So I did, and as it progressed, I saw they're talking about a church and building a church. They have a guy who's a priest. They have an entire episode dedicated to Psalm 23 and an episode dedicated to baptism and what that means and if that gets a person to heaven or not. And I'm thinking, this is one of the most popular shows on television and yet also one of the most spiritual. Mm-hmm. So it really intrigued me from the start. And as I talked with my publisher about that, I said, there's some real potential here. And the idea developed into a book, which we put out for the start of last season, called What Can Be Found in Lost, where we took some of these key spiritual themes in the series and basically analyzed what they said from the perspective of the show, how that lined up with what the Bible teaches, and how we can use that to share with both our Christian friends and community, as well as talking with those who are outside of the Christian faith.
Well, this whole issue of using things like Lost to, you know, share the truth of the gospel opens up a whole can of worms, and we'll go through it worm by worm on tonight's show. But before we go any further, I wanted people to know, if you got a comment, you got a question that you'd like to ask, not necessarily about Lost, the show itself. We're not going to give away any answers if you're not entirely caught up on that. But shows about questions about what we're talking about tonight, you can give us a call, 505-338-5790 anytime tonight. And I know Dylan loves answering those tough questions, so go ahead and quiz him all you want, and or quiz us as well. 505-338-5790 if you'd like to call in tonight and be a part of tonight's program. And now, Mandy, you bring a really interesting perspective to all this, because I know you haven't watched Lost.
I turned it on once. I remember turning on the TV, and I had heard the show about people who got lost on an island, but only when I turned on the TV, they were in a building and not on an island. And I was so confused that I don't even know what season it was, but I turned it off, and I've never seen it. Never seen a full episode of Lost, so this should be interesting. But I've seen some other stuff that people have talked about and put a spiritual twist to. So I'm curious.
Yeah, Lost is one of those shows that you can't really jump in on the middle of. You had to kind of be there from the beginning, which is one of the reasons why I've been surprised that it's done so well. Mm-hmm. Because you have to start. But you know, that's one of the nice things about DVD and the internet these days, that people can get caught up. Now, Dylan, what? I mean, you already mentioned it a little bit, but what was it specifically as you were watching the show that really made you think, you know, this is something that could really help people connect with biblical truth? I mean, what was the genesis for wanting to write the book that you did as you were watching the show, just beyond some of the, you know, spiritual content? Because there's a lot of spiritual shows on TV. You know, you got Ghost Whisperer and Medium, which I don't know if that's on anymore, but there's been a lot of, you know, there's been a lot supernatural.
Ghost Whisperer is one that I saw.
Well, certainly, and there are lots of those types of shows out there, and it's really from the perspective of someone who's the Christian viewer, looking at what's out there, what's popular, and finding out which of these topics out there that are popular can I draw from in terms of spirituality and use it in a way that I can help speak truth on spiritual issues. And at the time that it came out and started building up its following, that was the show that stood out. I'm a fan of 24. I watch Heroes. I like some of those shows as well. But in terms of spiritual content, it had a lot of explicit stuff. And in the first season and the second season especially, there were a lot of people among the castaways or the survivors who were dying off. And when people died, it always forced the question of what happens to a person after this life ends. And you had some people who believed in reincarnation. You had a lot of very scientific people who thought, well, they go in the ground and that's it, and others who believed in heaven or some other afterlife viewpoint. And from that, you can look at it and have a lot of good conversations with people who wouldn't usually be open to talking about end-of-life issues. For instance, I have a family member who is very into the TV show Lost, and he knows that I'm a Christian writer, but he's never really been that excited about my books until I told him I was writing one on this TV show, and suddenly said, I have to get a copy of that. And it opened up some new doors that I didn't have before with him. So that's just one example of among many where you can take just something that people are into on an everyday basis and use it as an opportunity to speak the truth on spiritual issues.
How much do you think doing something like this, writing a book about a show like Lost, how important do you think that is in helping the church stay relevant with the culture so that people don't feel like the church is out of touch?
Well, it's very important in the sense that we are supposed to do what Jesus did. And Jesus was both a friend to sinners, but he was also a person who was bold in sharing the truth on different issues according to what God taught in the scriptures. So if we are willing to do both parts of it, both investigate the culture and speak truth on issues that the Bible speaks truth on, then we can have a very influential impact in the lives around us. The problem we often run into as Christians is we see something cool in the culture, whether it's a video game or a movie or some other cultural phenomenon, and we say, hey, that's really neat, and you look into it, but you don't make that bridge from the neat cultural value that it brings to you to the spiritual matters at heart that you can communicate Christ through. On the other hand, you have a lot of people who are Christian leaders or Bible teachers in a church, whatever other context, and they teach the Bible without looking at what's going on in the culture. And when they do, they miss out on these opportunities to speak on issues of life that people are already in tune with, that are already interested in, and as a result, they're not connecting with their audience at the level that they could be.
Yeah, and this is one of the issues that's very key for what we do here at M88. As we're a radio station, we play music. It's all about, well, it's not all about entertainment, but entertainment is a factor in it. That's what radio does, especially when you're playing music. And finding that balance between being relevant to the culture while at the same time not compromising the core of the gospel, it's a tight wire act for us.
Well, and Dylan, I'm just kind of jump right into this, because I remember my first reaction whenever I started reading the book, and I think you make some great points in how you're talking about it now, and how we can use these things that are popular for the glory of God, pretty much is what you're saying. But what would you say to those who maybe not necessarily this book, but look at media, try to find something spiritual about it, and justify watching things that maybe aren't really that great to watch by finding these little things that can be, I don't know, seen as spiritual? What would you say to the people who are trying to justify things like that?
Well, certainly you have to be appropriate to the audience. For instance, I'm not going to talk to elementary age school kids about the spiritual significance of Lost because hopefully they are not watching that.
Uh-huh.
That's not appropriate for that age level.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm talking with college students especially, this is one of the top shows they watch, so it only makes sense for me to at least be aware of it, not necessarily be an expert on it, but be aware of it so I can use that as an illustration as I'm talking about a biblical matter.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, if I am talking with elementary students, I can use some of the shows that they're into and use references from that, as well as video games, as well as books, as well as other things going on in the local community, not just in media, that make a difference to their lives. Because when I make that connection, then they realize this person cares about the same things I care about, and then they give you a greater hearing than they would if you just jumped right in more of an academic, educational mindset from the start.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're talking with Dylan Burrows, author of the book What Can Be Found in Lost. And if you'd like to call in, make a comment, ask a question as we go through this, 505-338-5790 is the number to call. 505-338-5790. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, make a comment as we talk with Dylan Burrows, author of the book What Can Be Found in Lost. And Dylan, when I was going through your book again for a second time, we did this conversation about the time the book first came out at the end of season three. Now we're in season five of Lost. I like how you had the book kind of broken down into topic. You know, it went very topically through different issues. And the way you broke down the topics, these were topics that everyone is concerned about, which is one of the things that struck me about how you structured the book, that each topic that you talk about from the show Lost is topics that people talk about anyway, such as death and prayer. And talk about how you structured the book. I mean, what was your thinking putting this together, and how did you see these elements in the show Lost?
Well, at the start, we decided to go topically through it rather than going through characters or through seasons, because the topics, like you said, spoke to people regardless of where they were, regardless of their background. So when we talk about God, we know that over 90% of Americans statistically believe in God or some higher power out there, and they have questions about what God is like, who he is like, if he's the same in Islam as he is in Christianity, for instance, if there's one God who's out there who created everything and now sits back as some deity, or is he personally involved in our day-to-day lives. So we had those issues to work through when we're talking about God, and we can use the examples of the characters in the show to help with that. On the flip side, you had issues like the string of numbers that they have in Lost that they keep putting in at special places to keep people intrigued, and we built on that and said, wait, is there really a spiritual significance to numbers? Is it really one of those things where we look at numbers in the Bible and we're supposed to find some special meaning or significance in it, like some religions do, such as Kabbalah? And we took that as an opportunity to help people understand that God did reveal information to us, but it's not necessarily in the string of numbers that is involved or a specific number sequence that we see in the Bible. It's rather in the words that he's communicated to us that he wants us to understand and know so we can live lives that conform to his will today.
Well, and Dylan, that was one thing I noticed just, and I wasn't able to get through the whole book, but I was reading in the beginning, and something I noticed, I've read a lot of articles online about different shows and different movies, and it seems to me like there are a lot of Christian authors out there who try to, in my opinion, over-spiritualize everything in a show or everything in a movie. And one thing I really liked about this, your book, What You Can Find in Lost, or What Can Be Found in Lost, is that it's not like that. It's... you have these key points that do point out things that correlate with the Bible, but you also point out some other important facts. I know, and I'm going to read a quote here from the book. It's just in talking about God being mentioned in the show, and it says, there are major differences between believing in a God, believing in God, and believing in the God of Christianity. And that, to me, that kind of changed my view on the book a little bit right off there in the back, because I was a little worried, I'll be honest. I was a little worried that it was going to over-spiritualize the show. But I think that makes a good point, is there are a lot of shows out there and a lot of movies out there that we can see as something that goes right along with the Bible. We can find scripture in it, even if it's not word by word, we can find these little things. But what we need to remember is it's not always Christianity. It's not always Christian-based. It might be open to spiritual ideas, and it might be open to even the fact that there is a creator, but that was one thing that really stood out to me about the book, is it doesn't do that. It doesn't automatically assume that Lost is a Christian show just because there are some spiritual things in it.
Well, certainly, and we don't want to give that impression at all, that we thought that Lost was a Christian show, and that's why we wanted to talk about it. By contrast, we say it's a Christian show. It has a lot of spiritual content. And TV, like any art form, it does two things. One, it reflects what's already happening in the existing culture, but also, second, it influences culture. So when we looked at this, we said, what is it saying about our culture and our world today that is accurate? This idea of many gods or many ways to get to God all being equally valid, and also the idea that it influences those who watch, that someone could watch this and see a Muslim character highlighted in one episode and say, he's not that much different from me as a Christian. Well, he may not be that much different from you as a person, but the teachings that he follows may be vastly different from what you follow if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. So we're trying to point out both the commonalities and the differences. And it's interesting to us in our review of Lost specifically that most of the times when the writers comment on issues of faith and religion, they do it accurately. Now, there are a couple specific times they do a poor job of representing Christian ideas, but for the most part, in Christianity, Buddhism, Islam, other religions that are shared in it, they accurately portray the practices of that particular religion, but they don't say which one is right or wrong. They leave that for the audience to interpret.
Now, how do we make sure, as Mandy was talking about, that we don't over-spiritualize something? I mean, a show like Lost, yeah, there's a lot of spiritual content, and we can correlate that to other things. But, you know, where is the line between using something to help better help relate the gospel and over-spiritualizing it to the point where you no longer even reference back to Scripture? You almost are saying, oh, all you need to do is watch the show and you'll figure it out. I mean, how do we walk this tightrope that we mentioned earlier of making sure that we're relatable, but we're not compromising?
Well, I think the key is that you identify the issues that the art form, whether it's Lost or other art forms, films or books, etc., what issue does it bring up that's universal to all of us, that we all care about as people, whether that's a relationship between a mom and a dad, whether that's the death of a loved one, someone who's on the verge of a major sickness, someone who's suffering, trying to get back home, as in the case of Lost. What does this say about us as humans? And in a lot of cases, Lost is simply showing the idea that we are inadequate as humans to take care of all of the issues of lives on our own. And I love that idea because they're fighting nature, trying to get back home. They're fighting one another in conflict with each other. They're fighting against another group they find on the island. But ultimately, they see their inadequacies in each of their lives, and they try to deal with that in different ways. Some are more scientific and skeptical. Others are more religious or spiritual and turn to prayer or some other form of faith. And we look at that as Christians and say, if you were in that situation, how would you respond? And as a Christian, you have a specific worldview that tells you how you would respond when you're facing death or facing a difficult trial. And that could be distinctly different from a person who's not a Christian. And when you have that worldview in place and you look at the art form through a Christian worldview, it gives you an opportunity to communicate how that's distinctly different and why that's of importance to a person's life.
You know, I was just thinking about something, Yo, as you were pointing again the topic of making sure that we're not justifying things that shouldn't be justified or over-spiritualizing things. And a verse that came to mind was in 1 Corinthians 9:20 is where it begins. It says, "And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under the law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law." And that one right there really stuck out to me. When we're watching these shows, when we're looking at media and trying to find ways to present the gospel in a way that's relevant to those around us, I think that we really need to make sure to not only take this into account, but also the verse in which it talks about being in the world but not of the world. And I think, you know, we watch these shows. I know that there are TV shows that I watch that aren't Christian per se, but I do think that we need to be careful in what we do and how much we put the gospel into these things. I think we just need to be cautious about it. And that's just, you know, me coming from a side where I haven't watched the show at all. I don't really know how many things in it are very spiritual, how many things are just, I don't know. I think really anything can be looked at in a spiritual manner. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think, like Dylan was talking about, there are people in the show, I guess, who are Muslim and just these different religions. And there's a spiritual aspect to every religion. You know what I mean? And so I think that we just need to be really cautious in how we, in any form of media. Even, I remember when Superman came out, and I know we've talked about this, and the spiritual relevance that was placed on that, and I know that I saw it. But even with that, I think that we need to be really cautious how much we put God's word into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's this balance, and I know that I have seen many poor reactions from non-believers when they see Christians taking everything and trying to put a Christian twist to everything. And that's just something that really stood out to me, because I remember using media a lot and trying to find these different things, even in secular music, that I would hear something that had good lyrics, that were wholesome lyrics. And, you know, I think that God can use all things, but I also think that not all things are godly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need to find that balance.
Which actually brings up a point, Dylan. You're talking about how we should filter things through a biblical worldview, and I couldn't agree more that everything that we engage in as Christians should be filtered through a biblical worldview. But explain a little bit what that means, because someone might be hearing that, and they might be thinking, oh, okay, so I have to find out which character is the Christian character. And that's then I'll know that I'm seeing it through a biblical worldview. I mean, how do we filter these things through a biblical worldview?
Well, the key way to do that is to fill your life with Scripture itself. That is the foundation to all of this. For me, I can watch Lost, having read the Bible significantly and studied it over the years, and pick out things that other people wouldn't, who would also call themselves Christians. Someone who's never read the Scriptures or is not aware of other world religions to a very serious extent would watch it and see it as an entertaining show, but not catch a lot of the theology that's being thrown around. But if you're a person who studies the Word, when you see ideas being thrown around, like someone dying and the questions being asked about what happens to them, well, suddenly you have a Christian worldview that says, well, I can go to this verse and it tells me what happens to a person after they die, whether they accept Christ and they go to heaven, and what if they don't, what happens to them. So you have a specific worldview that you're coming from, and yes, it is biased, but that's specifically as Christians what we're called to do, to speak the truth in love. And that's our foundation in this book. It's what the Apostle Paul talks about, to speak the truth in love. You don't do it in a mean way, but you want to be very candid and very honest that there are distinct differences from the Christian faith, from the non-Christian religions that are out there, as well as people who call themselves skeptics or agnostics. So you maintain your distinctives, but you do it with compassion. You show that you care. You also show that you're informed, and that's what cultural relevance is about. And you look at Acts 17, where Paul is in Athens, and he's among these Greek intellectuals, and he appeals to some of the literature of their day and the poets of their day as a bridge to build into their minds an opportunity to share Jesus.
Well, 505-338-5790, if you'd like to comment on anything that we've been talking about as we talk with Dylan Burroughs, one of the co-authors of What Can Be Found in Lost. And just out of curiosity, I don't know how you might feel about this, Dylan, but back when I was in college, I took a class that was it was film and literature. And what it did is it would take movies that were based on literary works, and the whole point of the class was to analyze them and break them down and find out, you know, what the symbolic meanings were for things that are taking place in the movie and how they use things visually to symbolize things and, you know, all this analyzing. Up to that point, I never really spent a lot of time doing that. I just like to go to a movie, watch a TV show, and just not think about it. And I remember as I was taking this class, I got very upset at my professor, because after I took that class, I could not watch a movie
without analyzing it,
without being able to break down, oh, well, you'll notice that they rode in a white car. That's representative of, like, how the hero would ride in on a white horse, and that's how you know that they're, you know, and I would do these things almost instinctually after I took this class. And I was so frustrated at first that my professor did this to me. Obviously, she was a very good professor, because I couldn't avoid learning those particular lessons. But I have to wonder, you know, how might a non-believer feel? Do you think they might end up feeling a little bit similar when we start doing the same thing? You're like, hey, you know, if you look at this, you can blah, blah, blah. Because I know my family got really tired of me saying that. It's like, yeah, that's nice, yo. Can I just watch the movie? No, no, you don't understand. That refers
that
back to...
That means something. You don't get it.
Yeah, you know.
Yes. Well, that gets back to the speaking the truth and love part I was talking about, because a lot of Christians come across that way. They'll say, well, the Bible says this on this issue, and they give you a hit list of 5 or 10 verses. Well, that may be true, but all you need to do at the initial outset is address the issue and comment on what God's Word says. And if the person is interested, then you can take them to the next verse or to the next step in the conversation. And I always try to test the water, so to speak, especially when I'm talking with a non-believer on an issue. And the issue comes up, and I'll talk a little bit about it and maybe bring in a little biblical principle. And if I see that they're really annoyed and they're just not interested at all, and they've been down this road before, and they're really saying by their body language, don't go this direction, then I know it's not time to break out the Bible study on the issue. But there are other times when the person's curious and they've never heard that information before. And I can say, has anyone ever shown you what the Bible says about what happens to a person after they die, or what happens, or a biblical perspective on dreams, which is a big issue in Lost, for instance. So you really test the waters in building that rapport and a relationship, and then when someone's ready and God opens that door, you can dive in deeper in communicating the truth.
See, I wish someone would have told me that during my class, because what I found out is my friends and family just thought I was coming off as an arrogant know-it-all who could interpret these movies in ways that they could never figure out on their own, and they got really annoyed at me.
And, yo, that's a good point, because honestly, I know that there are a lot of non-believers who, when a Christian will present something like this to them and not be sensitive on the topic, that's a lot of times what goes through their mind is, we're just trying to be more spiritual than they are. We're trying to find, you know, I remember reading an article on it was on Superman, actually, and this clearly non-believer kept talking about the Christian propaganda that was just thrown in all over the place, and they were really upset by it because they had a lot of believers go up to them after the movie and just shoot out all this scripture at them and, you know, just try to shove it into their minds so that they would see, you know, that Superman is Jesus Christ and, you know, and they were really upset by it. And I think, Dylan, you made some really good points about testing the waters. And you really just have to get people to think about these shows, about media in general, and just ask them questions. You know, when it comes to the issue of death, asking them a simple question, well, what did you think about that? I know that this character had some questions about where somebody goes after they die. What is your view on that? And I know a lot of times just testing the waters in that way and testing the waters with one scripture or even how God has affected your life really makes an impact where it doesn't appear as though you're just shooting something out to hurt them, as it were, and to hurt their view on media.
Well, you're exactly right, because, I mean, one, you have to know the truth yourself if you're going to communicate it, but you also, secondly, have to live the truth yourself, because if your life is inconsistent with what you're talking about spiritually with a person, they are not going to be interested in hearing about it. And it just doesn't work. So, one, you have to build that loving relationship and be knowledgeable in what you're talking about, but your life has to be consistent with that. That way it will be appealing to the other person, and they'll want to know about the hope you have in you. That's what the Bible clearly states, is have an answer so people will want to know about the hope that's within you, and you'll be able to respond intelligently and appropriately for them. So I think you've hit on exactly the root of all of this in terms of talking about faith and culture issues. The culture is important because it leads to a conversation that gets to the real heart of a person, and you can talk about spiritual matters and matters of eternity and how a person's life can be changed by Jesus Christ.
Okay, I'm really going to stir the pot here with this next question, but I'd really like your insight on this, Dylan. Talking about how open-minded should Christians be when it comes to using things in pop culture for the purpose of the gospel. Case in point, Harry Potter. And I know right now everyone's like, what?
Oh, no.
Oh, man. But, you know, it was interesting to me that all these years, Christians were very harsh towards Harry Potter, still are in many cases. And they were maybe justifiably so. As the books were coming out, they kept making their case. And then you get to the last book in the series, and you have these moments that seemed, all right, no one misquote me on this. I'm not saying for sure, all right? I'm trying to tread water carefully here. But seemed to parallel the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There seemed to be some Christ allegory and the conclusion of the Harry Potter series, which I thought was very interesting. Again, it seemed that way. It appeared that way. It kind of looked that way. And all of a sudden, you have this issue of Christians all this time being so harsh on Harry Potter, and then it ends this way. And, of course, they can't go back on what they've been saying for years, because then they'd look kind of silly. Mm-hmm. And they can't actually acknowledge that, well, maybe there is a little Christ allegory in Harry Potter. And so My question is, you know, how open-minded should we be in accepting some pop culture before we jump in and judge it one way or the other?
Wow, that's a good question, but the scripture tells to test everything. So when it comes to Harry Potter, for instance, you know, grab the first book. If you're concerned about it, check it out, test it, comment on that book and about the issues in that book. For me, you know, I've written a little bit more on that because of the book we've done on Wicca and its involvement in connection with Harry Potter and its popularity with witchcraft over the past decade or so. So I'm a little more informed than maybe the average person would be on that. But at the bottom line still on this issue is you're commenting on what does it say in comparison to what the scripture says. And when you come out on it, you don't have to say that this is evil and of the devil necessarily, even if you think it is. You can say this is inconsistent with the teachings of the Bible. And if you're a parent who has a kid who's being asked to read this book, you can ask for an alternative. You don't have to be hateful about it, but speak the truth in love and use it as an opportunity to bring out those issues and why you care about those issues.
Which leads into another can of worms, if you don't mind me kind of broadening out our horizons a little bit here, Dylan. The new film Twilight and that whole series of books has been gaining some notoriety recently. Some notoriety. And you know, people are talking about how, oh, it was written by a Mormon who you know, in a lot of ways has similar views, not the same views, but similar views, especially from a moral standpoint on things. And so they're really not that bad, is what I've been hearing. And from what I've read about it, it's like, yeah, I don't know if you really want to play around with this. But what's your perspective on this whole new phenomenon from Twilight, now not dealing with witches, but now dealing with vampires, but quote-unquote good vampires?
Right. Vampire novels have become huge in recent years. I think most people are aware of that, and Twilight being the biggest of them all. I think my take on it, just as a guy, I was looking at that going, okay, vampire teen romance, not interested. And that was my take initially. And then suddenly it became huge. It's a movie, and it's the next Harry Potter thing and all this. And I'm going, maybe I should look at this a little more, because you have girls in your youth group reading it. You have, you know, it on the front newsstand at all the stores. And so you look into it a little more, and still, I mean, I'm not a person who considers my expert on this by any means, but you look at it, and it's written by, like you said, someone who's a Mormon background, opens with the scripture in the very first part of the first book, and you look in there and you go, well, it's not necessarily a Christian book, but it says some good things here and there along the way. So you have to pick and choose, okay, do you want to read the book and try to find a way to make some connections there, or do you want to pick some other topic? For me, that's one of those cultural issues that I've decided, well, I'm not going to get into that one because I'm already taking on these other issues. So you have to pick and choose. But for a lot of people, it's been very influential, but also a good way to talk about issues of faith and issues of even romance and relationships and how a Christian should live in those areas.
Awesome. Well, 505-338-5790, if you guys want to call in and just let us know, what are your views on this? Are you pro finding these spiritual things in media that maybe are touchy topics, whether it be Harry Potter or Lost or anything else? And just give us a call in. We want to know what your views are on this. And right now we have Tara on the line. How's it going, Tara?
Hello. Yes, you know it's me. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
I am sort of a media hermit, I suppose. I don't watch TV, and the more I see movies, I'm like, I only want to see G movies because other movies are just quite terrible. But I think I look at the Bible and Paul head on. Well, of course, Christ faced the culture of that day, but he didn't use it to support God. He used God to change the world around them. And I don't think we should use anything to dilute the truth of Christ. They, you know, bringing up topics, but always bringing them back to the Word and to the principles of God's Word. Like, oh, this show's not great. And then I would also think of who you're speaking to. Like, if you're a parent, then you can draw everything out of the movies for your children. Like, oh, this was good, bring them to the Bible. But if you're speaking to non-believers, you don't want to hit them head-on with the Bible because it's spiritually discerned. But you can use things to, you know, kind of poke and prod their hearts and then let them come up with the questions, because then you can sort of, like you said in Corinthians, become a Jew or circumcised and circumcised, so on and so forth. But if we try to be more holy than thou, but they're just not going to get it.
Right. Well, and Tara, I think you make a good point about not diluting God's word, and I think that's the difference is, and I don't think that's what this book is trying to do or what we've been trying to do tonight. What we're doing is we're taking God's word, and that is preeminent. That's what we use. It all comes down to the gospel. When you are witnessing to non-believers, when you're talking to believers and trying to encourage them in the word, it is about God's word. However, I do believe that God can use things around us today, whether it be media or books or just people in general, for his glory, in that being resources and being able to ask questions by using the things that attract non-believers. But I definitely think that you have a good point about not diluting God's word, because that, above all, people should not be doing that. We shouldn't think that we have to use media in order to present God's word, because his word is going to be there no matter what, and it is going to be the strongest tool in bringing somebody to Christ.
You want to make a comment on that, Dylan?
Yeah.
Well, that was well said. And just to follow up on that, you know, one of the challenges I give to teenagers and college students when I talk with them in meetings is I'll ask them, you know, how many hours did you spend this week watching movies or playing video games? And then, you know, of course, people say, well, you know, usually watch a couple hours a day or whatever their answer is. And you ask them how much time they spend in scripture or in prayer that week. And oftentimes the answer is not quite as joyous or not quite as big a number. And I really use that as an opportunity not to guilt people into reading the Bible more, but to point out the issue that, yes, media is important and it does influence our lives, but when it comes to priorities, the Scripture must take priority over the media that we consume in our daily lives. So even myself, I try to monitor how much time I'm spending watching television for entertainment versus how much time I'm spending in Scripture or doing in the Christian practices of the spiritual life. So if you find yourself watching television all the time or playing video games all the time, you're going to be more influenced by those than if you just do it once in a while and you're memorizing Scripture and you're reading the Bible on a regular basis. So a lot of that is the principle that the Bible talks about, that, you know, how you think in your heart, so is he, or the concept that it talks about in Matthew, of just the Christian life being the things that are in your heart come out in your talk, or James 3 talking about the power of the tongue, your language being influenced by what you allow into your life. And that is very true when it comes to television and film. And we have to be aware of that and teach that as leaders and as parents.
Well, Tara, I thank you so much for calling in and sharing your comments. We really appreciate that.
Thank you very much. God bless you guys.
Yeah, you too. Have a great evening. Well, 505-338-5790, if you'd like to call in and join in on the conversation tonight as we talk with Dylan Burrows, author of the book, What Can Be Found and Lost. And one of the things that I naturally kind of lean toward to when I was thinking about this topic was how much Jesus used parables when he was teaching people. And, you know, in Matthew, it says that everything he said was done in parable form to people. Now, some might be thinking this is a little bit of a stretch, and maybe it is. Maybe it is. In all fairness, it could be. But how much do you think our media today is just another form of parables in order to relate biblical truth, like Jesus did? Or how do we find the balance between speaking in parables and speaking straight up truth?
Well, I've mentioned that in the past also, and I think you're on the right track in the sense that in the days of Jesus, that he walked the earth and it was an agricultural society, so his parables often revolved around things dealing with farming. Now, in our culture, in our cities especially, we do not have that background, but television is a common cultural idea that many of us are connected to, and music as well. And so we use those ideas as connecting points to speak spiritual truth, especially when we are with larger crowds, as Jesus was among the crowds, especially when we are with people who are some Christian, some not Christian. But you also see in the life of Jesus, it says when he was with his disciples, he explained everything to them. So when you're with your core people that you're discipling, you don't have to appeal a lot to outside media or outside stories. You just speak the truth directly. And I think that's a good distinction to keep in mind, that when you're talking with unbelievers or people who are still new in their faith, that you need to do more of that cultural connecting. But when you have someone who's growing in their faith, who's mature, who wants to learn the word, you can dive right in and simply start studying the scriptures themselves.
Going back to the show Lost specifically for a moment, we've talked about how it's a quote-unquote spiritual show. And as I've watched it, I appreciate that the Christian characters aren't you know, the comic relief. They aren't the dorks that run around and like, oh, I'm Christian, and everyone treats them. You know, they're treated with respect like everyone else. But there's a lot of spiritual elements in the show. It's a show that basically is trying to balance science versus the spiritual. Do miracles happen? Do they not? And especially with the start of this most recent season, I'm starting to wonder just how much the show seems to be leaning towards answering everything in a mystical kind of way. You know what I'm saying, Dylan? Like, they're kind of trying to not necessarily spiritualize it, but just say it's magic, you know, and not assign it to any sort of spirituality necessarily, but just one of those weird pseudo-scientific kind of things. I mean, where do you think the show is trending now so far as this whole issue of it being a very spiritual show?
Well, I think you're right that it's simply diving into more mystical types of experiences and even bringing in more of a sci-fi element that it lacked early on. So it's anybody's guess where it's going in the end. But for me, I'm looking at it saying they're dealing more with time travel and sci-fi type of elements like Heroes has done and become very popular in doing. And you look at that and say, okay, they're going to continue to have all this God talk and a lot of spirituality involved, but I think even in the end it's going to do what it's done all along in terms of commenting on different spiritual issues, but leaving the audience to be the one to determine what is right and what is wrong when it comes to those spiritual issues.
Yeah, I was kind of feeling as I watched the season premiere that now it's starting to maybe explain some of those mystical, supernatural happenings and say, well, they're really not that mysterious after all. And the truth is, no matter how weird something is, everything is ultimately knowable. And, you know, it's only been, you know, 2 hours into the new season. But that was one of the things that struck me right away. It's like, oh, I'm starting to get a feel for that they're not going to leave it all as mysterious, but they seem to be trying to say, there's a way to explain it.
Well, yeah, they're bringing in a little more science to explain some of the reasons that things happen on the island. And I think ultimately at the end of the series, when it finishes its run here at the end of next season, we'll have a lot of science that explains what has happened. But there's no way they're going to take all of these loose ends out there and say that science is the reason behind it. And I think it's going to leave that element of mystery out there that has been intriguing to viewers all along. And as Christians, we look at that and we can go, okay, you know, I'm not that into it. It's a lot of loose ends. Let's just go to the Bible and forget about it. But for a lot of people who are into the show, you can use that as an opportunity to speak on these deeper issues of life that often feel forced when you're in a work environment or you're on campus or in a class. You want to talk to someone about your faith, but you don't know how. Well, someone you're talking to, you know, is a Lost fan, you can talk about the episode last night and just ask them what they think about that. And one question leads to another and leads to another, and you're able to bring in the concept of Christ. And again, when we talked about the scripture of Paul becoming all things to all men so he can at least save some, I think that's the key point of that whole passage, is that the goal is to save some of those people. And if you go into it with the mindset like we have, that we're going to build on the spirituality of the show so we can share scripture, so we can share spiritual truth, and ultimately see some people saved out of it, then I think you have the right mindset.
Very cool. Well, right now we have Samantha on the phone. Samantha, welcome to Raw Talk.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. I have been listening to Immediate for like almost a year now, and I love your guys' music. It rocks.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
And then a few months ago, I was starting to listen to some of the secular music on the radio, and I hear songs like Katy Perry's hit, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It. And I'm listening to the lyrics, and I was like, okay, that really doesn't apply to with anything in the Bible at all. Mm-hmm. And how it felt empty. And a lot of the music that I was starting to listen to was very empty, and I noticed that I wasn't as interested in and going to church and reading my Bible as I used to be when I was listening to the Christian radio station.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, how do you think that might apply to how we consume other types of media, Samantha? Watching movies, watching TV. Have you had any similar experiences with those other types?
Not really, because most of our shows are like VeggieTales and shows
that's
like that.
That's a great show. I love that show.
I know, so we're pretty safe. But I know, like, my friend Brody does have a few shows, like, she has Pirates of the Caribbean, and she has Buffy the Vampire, and shows like that that I've seen previews for, and I've heard a little bit about them, and then I'm thinking, well, there's some good, but they also affect how you have your relationship with God, because if the things of the world weigh out what has God, and you're pulled in by the world's view, then you're going to lose your ability to walk with God.
You know, Samantha actually brings up a good point with that, Dylan, because there are some shows, one of them being CSI. We used to watch that show on a regular basis. But after a while, it just got, I don't know, it just made us feel kind of icky watching it on a regular basis. And you know, again, it was a show that had good stuff. I remember one time where the show, surprisingly, addressed the issue of what happens when you have sex without love. And it was pretty adamant about there's nothing good that comes from that. Mm. That is the emptiest thing in the world. And I was like, wow, I can't believe a secular TV show would even go there, let alone come down on the side that relationship and love is preeminent above anything that, you know, we pursue with bodily pleasure. But at the same time, it just got to the point where we couldn't endure it anymore because it made us feel so bleak. It made us feel afraid. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, man, anything could happen to me at any time. Some guy's going to jump out of that bush. Nope, but he could have. You know, and it just started making us feel paranoid, overwhelmed, bleak. And it ultimately came down to the point where I was like, you know, there may be good stuff in it, but it's just not worth pursuing it. Where do we find the discernment to figure out if even if a show has good stuff, it's probably not worth pursuing it anyway because it's just going to affect us in too many other negative ways?
Well, certainly, and Titus 3:14 talks about devoting ourselves to doing what is good, and that's our goal. So if you're watching a show, it's helping you relax, or you're using a show for a spiritual purpose, you know, that could be a very good and positive thing. But when you're watching a show like CSI, like you mentioned, maybe it started off as a good show, but after some time, you're starting to watch it, and it's hurting you more than it's helping you, not necessarily just in what you're viewing, but your attitude, your spiritual thoughts. That's when it's time to turn it off. We're supposed to be focusing on things that help us to do what is good in the Christian walk. And if something's bringing us further away in our walk with God, then it needs to be cut off. And a good example of that is in my own life, I rarely watch anything that's rated above PG-13 because most of those films have more content than I need in my head in terms of things that will influence my thinking, influence my attitudes, and perhaps even my actions. So I'm very careful about what I select to watch at the movie theater. You know, I'm a big fan of anything that's going to be clean. Go and watch it so you can, you know, vote with your ticket to Hollywood that we want more of this kind of film. And so there are certain films like, you know, Saw and Saw 2 and 3, 4 and 5. I am not going to watch those or recommend people watch those or write a book about the spiritual content of Saw because it's not worth investing my mind and my energy into it.
You know, there's some people right now, though, who would be saying, is any of it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
If it isn't explicitly Christian, if it isn't, you know, talking about the Bible in explicit ways, is any of it worth it? You know, a lot of people talk about the Bible saying in Philippians, you know, whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is true, think on these things. Can you really find that in anything that doesn't come from the Bible? I mean, that's one of the areas where there seems to be a dividing line in the church where some people say, you know, you can't really justify watching this and then say that that's not okay because those lines eventually are going to be blurred. The only thing you can do is say, I will abstain from all of it unless it is explicitly Christian.
Right. And that's where you get into what you would call extreme fundamentalism at times, where you have a person who says, for me, this is not right to do, but it's also not right for any of you to do. And that's the difference. I mean, for me personally, I don't have a video game system in my house right now. I love it. I enjoy it. But if I had one in my house, I would neglect my kids. I would neglect my work, and I would spend hours a day playing those games. I don't need that in my life, so I don't have it in my home. On the flip side, I'm not going to go out and say every single Christian should not have an Xbox or a Wii in their house because it will draw you away from Christ. That's when you go beyond what Scripture says and try to force what you're doing in your life in the lives of others. So there is a difference there between what you have to do to make your walk with God stronger and what other people need to be taught about helping make their walk with God stronger. There are principles that we can teach, but some of the specifics are things that people need to deal with between themselves and God.
Well, Samantha, sorry, I didn't mean to leave you hanging there, but thanks for calling in, Samantha. You have a great evening, all right?
All right, you too.
All right, take care. She gave us some good stuff to talk about. And going along the same lines, Dylan, I was thinking about 1 John chapter 2, where it talks about don't love anything in the world. And again, you know, there's some people would say, look right there, it says you shouldn't love anything in this world. So don't enjoy yourself in any way that comes from anything that isn't, you know, Christian media. And then I've also heard people say, you know what, we don't need to engage in pop culture. What we need to do is create our own Christian culture and make that appealing enough that people will want to enjoy that as opposed to pop culture. We abstain from pop culture. We create our own culture, make it cool enough, and then they'll come to us. I have yet to hear anyone who has a good idea on how exactly to go about doing that. But how would you respond to the concept of, like, we don't need pop culture. We need to create our own culture and make that cool enough that the world will want to enjoy it.
You know, when you're a Christian, that is really tempting. I've been to some church camps where you're away from everything for a week and you have this big spiritual high and you think this is how life should be all the time. But the problem is the only people who think that way are the people who are already Christians. And our calling is to make disciples of all the nations. So if we as Christians bailed out of the culture and went and made our own little community and left everybody else, we're neglecting a major aspect of what Jesus has called us to do in our lives here on this earth. Now, in heaven, that's how it will be. We'll all be there 24/7 praising God for eternity. But until then, we have a calling that includes worshiping God and growing in Him, but it also includes doing what Jesus did, being a friend to sinners, going out and building relationships that can ultimately bring others to Christ as well. But here's the thing. For Christians, it's easier to not do that part and just do the other part that's community and focused on other Christians. And so oftentimes in churches or in youth groups or in our spiritual groups of different kinds, we focus on the Christian part and try to come up with the rationalizations for why we don't need to try to influence the culture around us.
Now, Dylan, I'm going to put kind of a twist on this a little bit just because I know we've been talking about being able to use media for witnessing to others and using it to present the gospel in different ways. But Samantha brought up a good point about, I guess, just watching what you listen to and what you watch for the case of it hurting you on the inside. But something else I thought of, I know in Galatians it talks about not being like the world around you. It talks about the Jews not acting in the same manner as the Gentiles, and as a result not expecting, as a result of the Jews acting in the world, not expecting the Gentiles to act as a Jew did. And for Christians, I think that the way we can look at that is our watching certain things or listening to certain things going to ruin our testimony as well to people who look at us and say, well, you're watching and listening to the same things that I am. Even if we are finding things in it that we can pose questions about and get them thinking about as far as the gospel goes, are we going to ruin our testimony with that in some cases? How would you respond to that? Because I know for me it has in the past with certain movies. It has completely ruined my testimony with a person.
And that is a very tough one because you do want to show that your beliefs are very distinct from those of the world. But at the same time, you want to build a relationship and build bridges with those who do not know Christ. And so each situation comes along, you have to ask yourself that question of, is this decision going to hurt or help my influence in this person's life? The question that probably isn't asked as much as should be, because oftentimes our friends ask us to go and we're asking, well, if I don't go, will they not like me anymore? And it's more about us than it is about God and His role in the situation. So a lot of times it's just simply taking the time to ask those questions, which are the proper questions, rather than thinking about it from your own personal or selfish perspective, or just not thinking about it at all and just going along with the flow because your friends are doing it, you do it too. Now, that's when people who are unchristians look at you and see nothing different between you and them because you're not thinking any differently, you're not acting any differently, you're not asking any different questions than they are. So why should they want to be what you are if it's not any different from what they already are? Mm-hmm. And that's a very difficult position to be in. In high school, I went to church, I was a Christian, but there were a couple years there where I was really living a rebellious lifestyle, and I saw myself in the mirror and I thought, why would anyone want to be the person I am? Because I say one thing and I live another. And when your faith and life are inconsistent, that's what's going to happen.
All right, time for a lost quiz, Dylan. Are you ready for this?
Uh-oh. I hope I can do this one, all right?
Okay. And this is just asking for your theories, all right? There's no right answers here.
Okay.
The four-toed statue, what was that all about?
Oh, man. That's a tough one because I do not have a clear answer because they haven't come back to that since they first showed it. I mean, it's been going all this time, and they haven't come back to it to say what it's about. But I think what's going to come down to toward the end is they're going to have this time travel stuff ties back to an ancient civilization on this island that includes that statue, that includes some of the foreign language markings that they see around the time travel stuff that happened at the end of last season. It's all going to be connected to some ancient culture that ties into what's going on with the contemporary issues. That's my best guess, but I haven't researched it more than that.
That's a good guess. All right, next. Who is Jacob, really?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. Jacob, at one point, they thought it was going to be Christian Shepherd, who is Jack Shepherd's dad. But to date, they haven't revealed for sure who that is. But that's my best guess so far, and we'll see what happens down the road.
You think this is kind of funny, Mandy. You think I'm a geek right now, don't you?
I am officially lost.
At least I'm giving informed answers. Even if I'm wrong, I at least know what he's talking about.
See, I have no idea. I have no idea. At that point, let's go ahead and welcome Raul to the show. Raul, welcome to Raw Talk.
Hello.
Hello,
hey,
are you
Raul.
There?
How you doing?
Good.
Doing well, thanks.
Good, good. Hey, I just had a quick comment. Romans 12:2 talks about not conforming to the patterns of this world. Mm-hmm. And so how would you use pop culture? I guess we're not supposed to conform to this world, and we're talking about using pop culture as an example to evangelize.
The question is how much is okay and how much is not okay. In Jesus' day, it may have been, with some of the parables, who are the people you're willing to associate with and who are the people you're not willing to associate with. And, in our time, we're thinking, what show should we watch, what show should we not watch, and those kind of questions. And it's the same basic principle. We're trying to reach those people without compromising to what they believe. And, each situation is different with that. There are some shows I can clearly say as a Christian you should not be part of. If you're talking about pornography, you do not research that so you can better teach someone spiritual principles. That's just not necessary. But at the same time, many things in our culture, if it's important to the other person and we find out a little bit about that so we can talk more informed with them, then that makes an impact in their life. It's not saying that Scripture is not good enough by itself. It's simply saying that if you know about the things the other person cares about, that you can be more impactful in your relationship and your witness with them.
Right. Well, and above all, I think that we test everything against Scripture. We're looking at it and we're saying, is this movie, is this song, is this book that we're reading, is it completely and totally going against God? Completely. That's the first thing that we really have to look at. Other than that, I think that there are some other questions that we have to ask ourselves, like, is this going to cause me to stumble? Is this going to cause somebody else to stumble that I'm going with? And above all, is my going and watching this or my listening to this going to bring God glory? If you can't answer correctly to any of those, it's probably not a good idea to watch it, because you can't, like Dylan was saying, you can't look at pornography and say, well, I'm only doing this to better, be able to talk to those who have struggled with it. You can't do that. You really have to test everything against Scripture. And if it completely and totally goes against God's word, then no, we shouldn't be. But God's word also talks about everything being permissible, but not everything beneficial. And I guess that's where it comes in, where you have to ask yourself those questions. Is this going to cause me to stumble, somebody else to stumble, and is it going to bring God glory?
To help you out at all, Raul?
Yeah, that's great. I just wanted to ask that. How do you not conform, but at the same time use pop culture to, share the gospel?
It's an excellent question, and really, regardless of how you feel about pop culture at all, it's a question we all have to face as Christians, because we live in this
world.
Right.
And there is there's no realistic way of avoiding contact with the world. And at the same time, being able to share the gospel with a world in need. You can't completely separate yourself and then say, but I'm still going to share the gospel. That doesn't work. So it's a legitimate question that regardless of how you feel about watching movies, TV, whatever, you still have to face.
It applies to the world as a whole.
Right, because we still come in contact with the world. So it's a great question and one that we all have to find an answer to of how do we make sure that we don't conform to the world while we are living in this world. And I'm glad you brought that up, Raul. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks.
Cool, yo. Have a good night, bro.
All right, take care. Well, Dylan, we're just about out of time for tonight. Real quick, do you have any other predictions about how you think this whole Lost phenomenon is going to end? We got this season and then one more. And do you have any predictions on what you think is going to happen?
Oh, man, you always set me up for these impossible questions.
Well, you know I love to do that, Dylan.
Oh, and yet you keep
coming back for interviews with me. So.
Well, I know. I'll have to research that one a little bit more to get back with you. But I really feel like they're going to come back to the island. That's the quest of the last two seasons, to find out what happened to the people who were left, reconnect. There will be some who continue to survive, some who don't. But the real question is this whole issue of the time travel element and the powers of the island, where they come from, and who's going to control these powers, which is the big dilemma now. So I think that's going to heat up over the next season, season and a half. But what I think is fun, because they're going back to the island and this time travel stuff is happening, a lot of the people who died off in earlier seasons are going to start showing up again in the newer episodes in these flashbacks or time travel sequences. So you can bet on some of these people that you thought, oh, man, I wish they would have been in the next season. Well, they'll be back for an episode or two down the road.
Yeah, we've already gotten a taste of that. Dylan, real quick, before we go, where can people go to learn more about you, your ministry, and your book, What Can Be Found and Lost?
The best place to find out more about my writings and what I do is readdb.com. Those are my initials for Dylan Burroughs, readdb.com, and has all the latest info and where to connect with me there and on Facebook and everywhere else.
Yeah, you did a lot of research for this book. I was super impressed. I didn't even know there was a Lostpedia, let alone that you could contribute to it. So that was very impressive, and be looking forward to maybe talking about this again when Lost is all over and all done with, and we have all the answers. And see how those answers line up with the answers that were provided in the Bible.
Hey, that would be great. Thanks so much, yo.
All right. And Mandy, that was fun. I'm glad you were here to add the skeptic's point of view.
Yeah, well, you know, in regards to the show, I'm just as lost as the show. But, you know, it was good. And I'm glad that I was able to come on from this other side of it, because I've never seen it before. And I think, you know, it was good that you guys had, for sure, because if we were to be talking about media and having that specific thing that we can look at in this one show, really, I think, answers a lot of questions as far as looking at other areas of media as well.
It makes a good case study.
Yeah, definitely.
And actually, we're going to talk more about this issue of the church and its relevancy to our culture. Is it losing its relevancy? Mm. And in trying to keep its relevancy, is it drifting into areas that it shouldn't, and trying to stay relevant in desperate ways that it really has no business doing? That's what we're going to discuss next week as we talk with Mike Erie, who wrote the book Death by Church.
Right. We're going to be looking at just what's the problem with the church today, which I know is a lot of people's question. Because that's, honestly, I have a lot of questions about that as well. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, and that'll just be kind of an extension of this. So make a Raw Talk part of your post-Super Bowl time, your post-Super Bowl party. You can turn on Raw Talk, and as you celebrate whichever team wins, you can also delve into some deep issues that will hopefully challenge you, encourage you, but most of all get you to think. And also coming up in February, we're going to talk about dating and courting.
Yes, we are. What's the difference between the two? Because we hear that a lot in the church, is you're supposed to be courting and not dating. And so that'll be a really exciting one, because I know people are very opinionated on what we should and should not be doing in dating or courting.
I have some very unique personal experience in that I'll share.
Okay, me too.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, that's it for tonight's Raw Talk. Thanks for joining us, and have a shway week in the Lord.